We're talking about winter weather now, but it was only until recently we were talking about destructive wildfires. It is just close to impossible to imagine a city the size of Grants Pass or Ashland mostly wiped out by fire. But that's what happened in Paradise, California. And fire struck there after a different fire took out a chunk of Redding and surrounding communities in August. After the first responders come the likes of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, and the Small Business Administration, SBA. We stress again, SBA helps more than small business owners, so lots of people can be listening to this. Let's find out what the two agencies do together. Two guests with us, Chelsea Irvine rejoins us. She's a Disaster Assistance Public Information Officer with SBA. Chelsea, thank you for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me again.
And Giovanna Garcia joins us this time as well. She's a community relations specialist with FEMA. Giovanna, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So it sounds like both of you are on the road a fair amount. Giovanna, can you give us an idea of the kinds of places you have been just this year alone?
Oh, just this year alone. Actually, I've been deployed out to the Hurricane Harvey, Irma, down to Florida to assist with the evacuees coming in from evacuees from Hurricane Maria from Puerto Rico. I was here recently working along with my partner here at Chelsea at the car fire up in Shasta County. So I've been in quite a few places in the recent couple of months now.
And what are the usual? We'll get to Chelsea and what SBA does in just a moment. What does FEMA do when you arrive in a community?
Well, exactly what we do is once we get the federal declaration, we go in and work with the local state and come in as a support mechanism for the disaster. So we assist in trying to basically implement what would be the different ways that we can support the local county and the state in regards to trying to start the process in the response recovery mode of the disaster.
And what's the usual first request, the first thing that you could, that is requested of helping the community?
Well, first of the things that we go ahead and do is we try to have people register immediately. That's one of our things. We have our teams called the Disaster Survivor Assistance Teams that go out into the field and go out to the different various places that survivors are will be at, such as shelters or different locations, and we try to get them registered so they can actually start the process in order for them to start receiving the resources or basically the journey as to how their life will kind of start in regards to recovering from a major disaster.
Chelsea Irvine, is it usually a match set? Do FEMA and SBA people tend to travel together?
Yep. Usually we have a DRC set up within 24 hours of a federal emergency declaration and in that disaster recovery center, both FEMA staff and my SBA colleagues.
Mm-hmm. And then what's usually the timeline between the order to go and the time that you arrive and begin to get a DRC set up?
Oh, we're within 24 hours.
Wow. Okay. And then how soon do you wait for people to come to the DRC? Giovanna was talking about actually going out to find people at shelters. I don't know if SBA does slightly different things.
We're a little different in that we don't have those direct support assistance teams that go out, knock on doors and things, but they, our colleagues at FEMA always lead people to the disaster recovery center where my staff is set up. And we have a business recovery center as well for local businesses and nonprofits to come and see what kind of assistance is available.
So how big a team comes together to a disaster recovery center? I mean, how many people do you have between the two agencies?
Ooh, that number is pretty fluid, and it increases with the need of you know, depending on how many survivors we have. But I would say between the two of us, we probably have over 100 people at that disaster recovery center.
Okay, so a lot of people come out in pretty short order. So you guys came to the campfire. Were you involved with the, came to the car fire, rather. Were you involved with the campfire, too?
We're back here. Unfortunately, seeing a lot of familiar faces from just a couple months ago when we were up here working the car fire in Shasta County. But obviously, we wish it was under different circumstances. But, you know, we have a lot of good local government folks who, you know, have a little bit of experience, unfortunately, with this. So they have a lot of resources already aligned for survivors of the campfire.
We're talking about post-fire disaster relief from the federal government with Chelsea Irvine, a disaster assistance public information officer with SBA, the Small Business Administration. We also have with us FEMA Community Relations Specialist Giovanna Garcia. FEMA, of course, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Questions, comments from you about what goes on after a fire and what kinds of aid is available? Please join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Giovanna, have you had a chance to look closely yourself at the devastation in Paradise, or did you not get close to that?
Yes, I have. The thing is that once we are boots on the ground, we're here. We try to locate a specific area with the county and the state. They're the ones that actually get the DRC up and running, and we come in with our teams and work with the different entities. I was able to go ahead and go out to the devastation area. And it's very heartbroken. But our goal is to try to get everyone ready and get people back into starting the process and trying to recover from the disaster. But it's quite different from what we were here with the car fire.
Much bigger in the sense of destruction.
The destruction, yes. The amount of homes that were destroyed. The amount of people impacted more than so, especially with our first responders that have been working, you know, those 24 hours, 7 days a week, on and off to put the fire out and to help rescue people. And they themselves are going through the same situation with losing their homes. And so it's been a quite emotional roller coaster for many of us working the disaster, but also for many of those that have been impacted that have had to work through to be able to assist those that were impacted.
And, you know, we've been talking about the fact that this is a county where the housing stock was already tight in Butte County, California, and a majority of homes were lost in a community of 27,000 people. So where, I mean, do you have a fix on where most of them have gone?
Well, I mean, as the public information officer that I've been assigned to with this disaster, I've been going over to different areas, working with along with the American Red Cross and the counties, try to figure out, you know, where have people gone, what has happened, and, you know, how we can try to continue to assist them. A lot of people have been, you know, have decided to go into family, friends, homes. Many have started to participate in our transitional sheltering assistance program, which is funded by us, FEMA. And what it does is that it puts those that have been displaced by the wildfires in the Butte County area. And one of the things we do is that we work in conjunction with different entities, such as hotels, that participate in the program, where we can go ahead and place those families that are eligible into these temporary rooms and suites for about up to 90 days. And like that, they can actually go from being maybe in a very tight situation or maybe even sleeping. A lot of them have been sleeping in their vehicles or in different shelters to at least somewhat of a cozy type of setting so that they can start their process, whether they go through the insurance, go through SBA, get everything up and rolling with their process in regards to housing. On top of that, we also assist them with rental payments. We've had a lot of people that have found places to stay within the county and actually outside skirts of Butte County. And we assist them with, for those renters, at least with 1 month's rent, and with homeowners, up to 3 months worth of rent. And of course, we have our different grants that we have available for those that have, that are either homeowners or renters, where we provide them with grants that are available for home repairs, replacement of essential household needs, damage of their dwellings and sanitary and functional. And we also help them with property, personal property loss, whether it's their medical prescription, dental. And unfortunately, in this case, we've had to assist a lot with funeral needs.
Sure. Sure. Understand that. And with 88, I think, is the last death toll I saw from the campfire. With rental assistance at 3 months, we're talking about a major cleanup and then a major reconstruction job, assuming people do want to build again in Paradise. I mean, is there any capacity within FEMA to extend that by 3 months, or does that take an act of Congress?
Actually, there is. They can actually go back into and speak with someone in FEMA, whether it's through our 1-800-621-3362 number or on online disasterassistance.gov. And, of course, with our two locations that we have at Chico Mall and in Oroville, our DRCs, those that are in those type of settings can actually request an extension. And it's all done on an individual basis.
All right, so there is some capacity for extension. We're talking about disaster relief after fire with FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giovanna Garcia is a community relations specialist working on the campfire and the car fire before that. Chelsea Irvine is with the Small Business Administration, the SBA, Disaster Assistance Public Information Officer. Questions or comments from you, welcome. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Chelsea, had you actually left Redding and came back up to the Chico Paradise area, or were you still there?
You know, I have just gone back to Sacramento for a couple of weeks, and then there you have it. They sent me right back up here where I was. I'm actually staying in Redding because it's a little bit closer than Sacramento, so back to my old norm up here, I guess, unfortunately. But at least we have a base now of people who we've already reached out to, who understand our program, who are helping us spread the message, because there's just so many people who are affected by the campfire that, you know, our job is critical right now, getting information into survivors' hands.
You know, the public focus tends to move from fire to fire, but obviously while we're talking about the needs of the people who were caught in the campfire, the fact is that I doubt that any home has been rebuilt since the car fire. So that is still an open case.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're just now wrapping up debris removal in Jasta County. So now is the time when they're starting to think about rebuilding, and are they going to relocate, or what the future plans are. So it kind of gives us some insight into what's going to happen here. But, I mean, you're talking about a disaster that's 15 times the scope of the car fire. So there's a lot of new territory that we're going to be, you know, going through this time.
For people who were dealing with day-to-day stuff on the car fire and haven't quite gotten up to speed with services available to them, is there still capacity for them to get things taken care of?
There are. You know, we have, obviously, the deadline to apply for both FEMA and SBA has passed with the car fire, but we understand that there could have been situations where people were displaced out of state and things like that, and you can always still apply and just explain to us why there was that delay. And that's what we're really trying to prevent here with the campfire is, you know, people who don't understand what federal assistance is available and what the deadlines are. It is January 11th, so it's coming up, you know, here in another 6 weeks. And we just really, that's why, you know, Giovanna and I were out in Yolo County this weekend trying to find those survivors who have been displaced to, you know, the Woodland area. And we have events in other different counties just trying to really reach out to where the survivors have gone.
All right, so it's not just a matter of setting up a shop and saying, come to us. You really do go out and look for people, too.
Right.
And you're saying the January 11th deadline is for services after the campfire?
Yes, so the deadline to register with FEMA and to apply for an SBA loan is January 11th. So we're really urging everybody to get registered. You can register for FEMA at disasterassistance.gov. You can apply with the SBA at sba.gov/disaster. Or come to the Disaster Recovery Center. We have two, like Giovanna mentioned. We have one at the old Sears in the Chico Mall at 1982 East 20th Street. And also the one in Oroville is 2140 Feather River Boulevard. Both of those centers are open 9 to 7, 7 days a week. And they're both basically a one-stop shop for anything a survivor might need. You can register with FEMA, apply with SBA. All of our city, county, state partners, nonprofit partners are all there to help walk survivors through this process and make it a little easier to understand and, you know, help get them on that road to recovery.
And I want to make sure that because it seems like every time we talk to you, I want to do this again, but remind people, even though you are the Small Business Administration, people should not tune you out if they don't own a small business, because you do offer support to homeowners as well.
Right. It's so confusing for people. They think, oh, I'm not a business. That doesn't apply to me. But the reality is that about 95% of the loans that we do are for homeowners and renters. And so in a case like this, we offer up to $200,000 for a homeowner to repair or replace or relocate their primary residence. And for homeowners and renters, up to $40,000 for all their personal items lost and vehicles that were damaged. And another important point to mention just how federal recovery framework works. In this particular case, I know that there were a lot of elderly survivors who, you know, maybe are on fixed income, just Social Security or a pension, and taking out a loan might not be in their best interest. It's important to remind those survivors that they do need to go through our SBA process. And if we're unable to offer them a loan because they just don't have that extra cushion in their budget or whatever, most homeowners and renters may then be referred back to FEMA for what's called other needs assistance. And it's not a promise of a grant, but it's a potential additional grant assistance that they have to go through our SBA process in order to even unlock that ability, because if you don't apply with us, you're cutting off your availability for further federal assistance.
All right, which sounds like there's the potential for a little bit of frustration and certainly some paperwork,
right,
to just to figure out if you're reaching the parameters of the program.
Yeah. And you know what? That's why we suggest going to our disaster recovery center, because we can explain that. My staff is fantastic. The FEMA staff has been wonderful in trying to cut through all of the, you know, misinformation and stuff. And that's why we're just really urging people to get to that disaster recovery center, learn what assistance is available, and let us all help these survivors get back to some semblance of normalcy in their lives.
Which raises the question. I mean, you're not seeing people at the best times in their lives. And I just wonder what that's like on your side of the counter, human to human.
This has been so hard. It's been really hard. And I know Giovanna feels the same way. We've talked about, you know, the survivors, we talk to survivors all day, every day. And, you know, we can do our little part to explain what these programs are and what assistance is available. But our number one job is just to listen and be there for survivors and, you know, do whatever we can. And that we end up playing kind of, you know, matchmaker. If we know somebody who has a service and a survivor needs it, you know, if we can, we'll connect those dots for them. But it's been really hard.
And Giovanna, based on what you were saying before, it sounds like you've still retained the capacity for surprise and shock when you go to a new disaster scene.
Every disaster is different, and it's a experience that touches your heart. As Chelsea was saying, you know, we try to do our best, but we go way beyond just because, you know, you think about those survivors and you just think about, you know, this could be you as well. And it's, you know, it hurts. We try our best to provide as much assistance possible. And if we cannot provide assistance immediately there, we'll go ahead and walk them through another resource. And that's what our job is. As public information officers, we're out there looking for more ways to how to, provide quick access into for them to, so it doesn't be, so it won't become a little bit dreading or long or impatient for them, because it is a long process and they can be a little bit frustrated. But, you know, we had a lady who was 76 years old, lost her home, lost everything, has no friends and families around, comes into the center in Chico. And one of the things she says to the team was, you know, I came in without a plan. And now I'm leaving with a plan. I feel good. I feel comfortable. You know, she was able to eat. So, I mean.
All right. So things can be corrected, certainly. Okay. Disasterassistance.gov is the place to go. We're talking to Giovanna Garcia at FEMA, Chelsea Irvine at SBA. Thank you for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.